What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Quickly. We are back. We are live. Thanks for sticking with us. Another episode of Patriot Power Hour. In fact, episode 92. Ben, Breaker of Banksters, Cochran here. One of the hosts of the Patriot Power Hour, but let me bring on my co-host, Future Dan, FutureDanger.com. How you doing there, sir? We're here once more. Survived another week.
The other host of Patriot Power Hour, yeah. Glad to be back, and we're in the middle of a crisis, a slow motion, large one.
That's the good way to put it. Let's just go. I really preface this week's episode by imagining what it was like 1 month ago. And my birthday was the middle of March, right when a lot of the quarantines just began. Work at home, NBA being canceled, sporting events, etc., right around my birthday. It seems like 3 to 6 months ago. That was only 1 month. So much we've seen, trillions upon trillions in financial stimulus and bailouts and stuff, all types of, I call it martial law, but we can get into a lot of that. All different types of changes from a medical point of view, just society itself and culturally, massive changes in just a month. It's we still got a lot of stuff going on now, but I still want to digest some of what we've seen already.
Yeah, I think it was only 60 days ago we had the first deaths in the United States. Only 60.
Exactly. That's pretty ridiculous. And we're up at, geez, what are the latest numbers? Well, we're going to go through them actually on Future Danger later.
25,000 tonight.
So we'll be going through all the numbers as we do every single week here. Probably in the second segment, as always, the News Blitz, Future Danger News Blitz. Follow along at FutureDanger.com. But, you know, we were told that around this time, second, maybe third week of April, we would hit the peak. Maybe it'll plateau for a few more weeks, but then go down. Do you still, or did you ever really believe that narrative? Do you still believe it, or have you come around to it? Or on the flip side, do you think we're in for a much, much longer shutdown, almost like a rolling shutdown even for many months?
I don't even know, man. When we get to segment two and cover the disease, get right into the pandemic status, there's so many angles and new findings that I don't know what's going to happen. But I'll tell you this. This is the Prepper Broadcasting Network, all right? And there are people who listen to this network and beyond who did prepare. Like, they're fully prepped. If mid-March, when the quarantines were really announced and the deaths started to spike, if you've been indoors totally isolated because you prepared, there's no one in the United States of America who's looking at that level of preparedness in any other way than, I wish I had that. So hats off to anybody who's been able to protect their family in that manner. If you had all the food, all the supplies, you've been locked away, no contact, and are keeping up, you know, because social contact's important, Of course, you could do it over online pretty easily these days. But if you're isolated from physical other people, you're not shopping, you're not in the stores, you're looking smart right now.
Definitely. No, huge shout outs to the hosts and the listeners of PBN. We're still pretty new. I think we're just coming on to our 90-day probation period, so to speak. And geez, the way preppers were looked at when we first joined 3 months ago compared to now, let alone just a month ago, totally, you know, a 180, you know what I mean?
It's going to be hard to make fun of any kind of lifestyle that way. Again, and that's a good thing for the United States in the long run.
I try to look for silver linings as well. And one thing I'm really hoping for, I'm not getting too excited about, but I'm hoping on the margin, or at least for a lot of people, that exact thing will take place. People who are kind of into preparedness, hey, maybe I got a month worth of supplies, maybe they're going to take the next step. Maybe someone who never thought of it will at least have a month or two on hand for next time. We're not going to turn everyone into, you know, a professional overnight, but moving that paradigm, moving that window precipitously over just a few months, when the real big one hits, which I don't think this is like the big one, but it is big, but it's not the big one in my opinion. But when the big one happens, maybe this hardened us and got us a little more prepared as a society. That's a little bit of a stretch, but I that's what I hope for.
Yeah, I think that for some portion of humanity, unless you suffer from it, you're just not going to learn ahead of time. Then there's people that don't need that mechanism to know what's best and have already taken care of themselves. And what I think you're talking about is there's a middle, right? There's people that once would have been the types that had to suffer to learn. After this, are never going to want to be in that position because they had some real fear when panic buying began, right? At least where I live, most things are available right now. There are signs of shortages still out there, which is abnormal. But that middle populace, if any of them can move towards the tenets that are spoken about every single week on live shows on Prepper Broadcasting Network, then that's a better thing.
Definitely. And it's way better to be a year or 5 years or a decade too early than a week or a month too late. And unfortunately, a lot of people that might want to up their prepping game or get into the prepping game at all, they lost their jobs. And maybe they'll never be able to. So feel bad for those folks. Don't be that person. If you still have income or you're able to get income if we bounce back economically, which I hope we will, we'll talk about that a lot. Well, I mean, we talk about that every week, I suppose. But don't take that for granted. I have a wake-up call, and I'm like, wow, like, I've tried to conserve and invest and like gold, silver, Bitcoin preps and just being financially responsible, not buying things I can't afford. But I had a little bit, you know, I went on vacations or had fun, you know. I should not have done that. I should have buckled down a lot more. I'm going to do a lot more in the future, et cetera, et cetera. So, but the thing is,
you're the middle.
Get one more mulligan this time, but how many people are out of jobs may never have enough money to really truly prep, and it's too late for them. That's horrible, but it has occurred.
Yeah. My family didn't want for anything, but I do prepare. I have been shopping and intend to continue to. So I'll tell you one thing that had I had better foresight, any kind of protective facial masking, like goggles with face shields, all of that would be very useful when going into public spaces right now. I can't get one. Like, I got some ordered. Who knows if they show up?
Yeah, absolutely. Who knows? And who knows if they'll even be of the right quality, et cetera. That's definitely something I wish I had more of, was medical gear. I had some medical gear, but not as much pandemic focus, if that makes sense. So that's a hole I'm going to have to fill. But we're not necessarily experts on that here. We're practicing preppers, but maybe not expert master preppers, but we try to think of ourselves as sort of the masters of information. We got a few minutes left before we go to break and come back on the news blitz. But were there any major topics, you know, news or threat indicator updates in the last 5 to 7 days before we hit the wide spectrum? Anything that you really need to hit from the forefront right now?
No, not really. That's where I started with. It's kind of like the slow motion crisis. It'll be interesting. I'm going to run through the heat map tonight and get you through some economic indicators and charts. And we're going to talk about ridiculous ones that where they are right now in January, they'd be black, full actual. But now they're still terrible. We just don't even have headlines for them because they're mundane, like the Fed funds rate and the the monetization of the debt, the Fed asset. It's not even really that interesting to talk about right now. It's so ridiculously actualized.
No, I know. I'm the anti-bankster, anti-Fed guy, and I barely even like talk to fans, friends and family. I don't really have that many fans. I'm not trying to toot my own horn subconsciously, but all my fans out there, I don't know. I really haven't even talked about the trillions upon trillions in debt and Fed stimulus, et cetera, except for on this show, because it's so obvious. Even my dad's like, look, how can you even explain this? And I'm like, I don't even know how to explain it. I'm almost numb to it. There's just so much of it. We got to actively fight against that, though. You know what I mean? We're going to get too numb to it.
$4 trillion budget deficit is going on right now. And the only place to put it in the map is under the federal government's defaulting, which because of the global depression that's probably onset and just the dearth of international news because every other country is dealing with the medical and economic crisis worldwide, that, you know, $4 trillion in debt seems maybe nothing right now. But it's insane. It's insane to run a budget deficit of that magnitude.
No, and it is emergency measures, and this is an emergency. This is what I've been saying, though, over the last several years, last decade or more since the quantitative easing came into effect, all this deficit bailout came into effect. We needed to save our ammo for a true crisis. We were pissing it away due to corruption and the mortgage fraud and all that stuff 10 years ago. We shot ourselves in the foot. Now, when a real crisis comes up, we ain't got much left to bring to bear. So, all right, folks. Well, we're going to break, actually, right now. Going to come back with the Future Danger News Blitz. Follow along, FutureDanger.com. Right now, go to FutureDanger.com, and we'll see you on the other side.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
This is a special announcement from the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Contact us now for preparedness consultation. We use a network of professionals to build your base of essential preparedness. Let us put you in touch with those professionals in emergency response planning, first aid and medicine, security tactics and training, gunsmithing, food safety, and community organizing. Our experts cover homesteading to bushcraft and everything in between. Build a real emergency response plan for your family or business. Create a written contingency plan complete with drills, guides, and annual goals. Customize your strategy to threats you face today. PBN experts can write your plan to address the 6 categories of base-level preparedness. We will discuss how to meet each need within your budget. Create an effective bug-out plan. There is a lot to the bug-out. If you are truly going to evacuate in an emergency, let's talk about it. Go deep and build out your prepping dreams. Have you tackled the basics? Take it to the next level with tactical and investment advice from our subject matter experts. Let's set up that initial consult and get your preparedness goals met. Go to prepperbroadcasting.com/preparedness-consultation. Affordable preparedness consulting starts with a $50 initial consult. This is the Prepper Broadcasting Network, building self-reliance and independence across the nation.
To reach out to those that want to learn and practice independence and self-reliance, we are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
I asked Bear Stearns to price our shorts. They tell me the CDOs still haven't moved.
You realize that these people are crooks and they should be in prison? Look at the Tavix. You can see that the CDOs are worth zero. So you know what they're doing, huh? You know what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're unloading them.
They're selling the dog shit CDOs. Then they go to another bank and short the shit
short
they just fucking
there.
Sold.
Let's go to the press, man. This is a massive story.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
This is the Future Danger News Blitz on Patriot Broadcasting Network, Patriot Power Hour, April 14th, 2020. We have, from left to right, top to bottom, Liberty Column, direct opposition of the disease sweeping the globe is the right to peaceably assemble. It's being abridged in petty and also major ways in the United States. Boston suburb sets up one-way sidewalks and will find those who walk in the wrong direction. Is the petty and insane types of things. But seriously, stay-at-home orders are stirring an emerging protest nationwide amid fears of an economic collapse. When you think of peaceable assembly being abridged, think commerce, think the economy, and think why you have the First Amendment right to conduct commerce and have an economy. News censorship is pretty outrageous right now. Pandemic's toll in senior facilities greater than the federal government is reporting. There are now emerging independent reports of significant undercounting. Meanwhile, Chicago's county, Cook County, the government in Cook County has censored the names of prisoners released due to coronavirus from their own police and the public. Unreasonable search and seizure continues to be normalized. Congress hears options for warrantlessly searching smartphone data to fight the COVID-19. The surveillance state is thriving. Calm 2. National Guard activations holding constant at 29,000 troops. National state of emergency continues. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs says, if our adversaries think this is our moment of weakness, they are dangerously wrong. All 50 U.S. states now under major disaster declarations by their governors. In China, civil unrest signs. Wuhan rent protest shows unrest brewing in China after lockdown. I guess the landlords in China are trying to charge rent. And no one's really thinking of wanting to do that in Wuhan. Column 3, economics, car prices collapse. The states accounting for 86% of economic growth in our country are on lockdown. Let that sink in. And the International Monetary Fund says a 1930s-like global depression is coming. That's not the United States, necessarily. It is the rest of the globe. The economy federally seized. Total taxes set a record for the first half of the fiscal year, which starts in the previous quarter of the past calendar year. Set a record that's probably not going to be met for a while. U.S. Airlines and the U.S. Treasury Department reached a deal for billions in bailout aid. A wealthy Miami island purchases thousands of rare rapid COVID-19 blood test kits, taking away from the Pennsylvania health system. Federal government default, still only a shadow of what it could become, coming in at green. U.S. deficit to quadruple to $4 trillion. Total debt will surpass World War II record. Food shortages, they're not here yet, but pay attention to what could become. North America meat plant workers fall ill, walk off the jobs. Smithfield's world's largest pork producer, shutting down a key American factory after COVID-19 breaks out there. All right, major plant meat plants under threatening conditions. It's a lot of tough work bringing livestock through those things, and people have to work close in proximity. And if there's no people to do that, I'm pretty much not automated by robots yet. The next 4 weeks for stocks could be lethal. Pay attention. That's an article up on the heat map. And Ben, allocation to global equities is the lowest since the depth of the last crisis, March 2009. Smart money staying away. 6,000 families line up for their cars in their cars for hours. Food bank donated food handouts. San Antonio, California, seeing those. That's under famine. Foreclosures on the horizon. Nearly 2 million struggling homeowners apply for assistance and forbearance as forbearance explosion is straight ahead. Column four. We have, of course, coronavirus news. We have documentaries exposing the origins of COVID-19 in the Wuhan lab. 30% of Americans say the coronavirus was made in a lab. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs, who warned adversaries around the world to take heed that the U.S. military is ready. That guy also this week said U.S. intel has taken a hard look at the Wuhan lab as the origin for COVID-19 and says the evidence is inconclusive, although they're going with the still the preponderance of the evidence is from the intel community. It is natural in origin. They're obviously looking at it. The only headline that you really need to know about in under the pestilence is we just broke 23. Now it's 25,000 Americans dead. Lots of news emerging about the damage it does, the reinfections that come with it, the early symptoms. It's all there in the heat map under pestilence and falls. We have a continuing slow start for rapid coronavirus tests in the United States. And that is it. That is your heat map tonight. It's the same drumbeat, the same types of news for second, third week, Ben. There's nothing ground earth shattering in here, but this is a slow motion crisis insofar as at least six indicators stay black all the time.
Yeah, and it, like you said, it's a lot of the same, not just topics and indicators, but right on target with what we've been talking about the last few months, or excuse me, few weeks of what, if we see this in middle of April, then we know we're still on track for this to be a pretty extreme disaster. I haven't seen anything that's deviated from that in a positive way. Maybe some of the worst case scenarios have been blunted a bit, but unfortunately, while there's not new news to report, at least compared to what it was a few weeks ago, the continuation of the stories we were first exposed to a few weeks ago, pun intended, just continue and are going right down the path that I'm not going to say we feared per se, but like I said, we did not have an Easter miracle. Things are not fixing themselves, especially economically.
Yeah, but $4 trillion in debt has seemed to stabilize the economy for 10 weeks, Mnuchin said. So we'll do $8 trillion. Then we'll do $12 trillion. Then we'll do $16 trillion, and it'll be the fall. And by that point, you know, the economy will be fundamentally reset and changed forever. But perhaps, you know, people get by somehow, right, with handouts and just checks from the Treasury. But I'm beginning to wonder if we're going to live in an age where, you know, something like this just stays deadly
right
everywhere. And what's the COVID-20 going to be like?
Perfect question.
Right? Are we
COVID-21
that
too?
Stuff
yeah.
Comes?
Well, that's the whole, whenever anyone brings up the vaccine, that's what I kind of my first response is. It takes so long to put one together, even with emergency measures and accelerating it years ahead of schedule, the safety testing and efficacy. What's COVID-20 and COVID-21? I'm not the first person to say it, and neither are you, but that's very fair. And hopefully they're not as bad, and hopefully they don't get worse. But is this going to be a new normal? Are we going to see this ongoing drag on the economy no matter what happens in the future?
Yeah, and you know, the Spanish flu was a really bad one. It swept through, and it was, you know, took a lot of life, and it was marked in history that way. But then, you know, within years, in the 1920s, no one lived necessarily just, you know, they didn't limit themselves, but this urge that we're going to stay highly restricted, government will define what essential assembly and what essential commerce is, and the rest of it's not essential, and therefore you can't assemble. You know, how long can it go on? It's a strange new time.
Well, then I really think something we haven't seen too much yet, but I'm seeing it starting to rear its head a little bit, is kind of civil disobedience. People say, no, screw you, we are going to have Easter services, or actually we are going to have a nightclub. You know, it's going to be kind of like a speakeasy, a secret place, you know, where people, that first month, I call it kind of the shut-in or the coronavirus self-isolation, social distancing honeymoon, but people are done with that. Every day that people are shuttered away, especially if they don't have a job, they're going to get more desperate, more antsy, more insane, literally and figuratively. And there's going to be snapping points. There's going to be ramifications way beyond that, kind of the butterfly effect. So, as you said, from a pure financial point of view, $4 trillion, let's just say that's a nice, easy round number. I think there's a lot more going on than just that, but we'll just say that for the annual deficit, which is kind of the published number, $4 trillion. Before, the record was like $1.1 trillion. How, that'll save, you know, according to Mnuchin, 10 weeks. I say it's more like 6 to 8 weeks. If we got to extend another 4, 6, 8 weeks, or let's say the summer's fine, but from October until next March, this all happens again. I mean, we're looking at, unfortunately, it's going to turn into, they're going to try to use socialism as a cure, but I don't think that's going to work. I mean, what do you think they're going to try to do if that does happen? If, you know, another 6 months, within the next 12 months, half that time we're still in lockdown, and that would be much worse than what we have right now financially. What do you think about that?
Well, either states and some of these governors are, you know, imposing very strict limitations on business. Either they're going to, you know, enforce it or not. And the businesses, you know, like people get desperate, and they decide to just, you know, they're going to have to be open to still exist, right? And then will the authorities just go in and close it down? You know, will customers go there? It's going to be, you know, settled in crowds in public. It's going to be settled by the right to assemble and the exercise of it, and whether it's going to be stopped. And meanwhile, let me just say, this is a really unprecedentedly dangerous disease that is killing a lot of people. And you're pretty smart if you don't want to be near anybody that got sick by it, I think.
Yeah, in a way, it's kind of a Darwinian sort of thing. Survival of the fittest. Don't go out, even if you want to be a rebel. Maybe that's not a good thing to put your life on the line for. I don't know. All right, we'll be right back. Everything all white, everything's gray. Now
you're here, now you're away. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Hold on. Stop the music. Are you supporting us on Patreon? Do you know that we are doing patron-only podcasts, videos, preparedness plans, incredible tools like our master preparedness schedule, all available at Patreon for $2 a month? $2. You've got that in your couch cushions. Not only that, that money goes to pay the bills for the network. We release ebooks from the hosts for free to our patrons. It's a tremendous opportunity. Not only is it a great value for $2 a month, but it makes a world of a difference for us. It pays the bills, to be frank. So support the network. Check us out at patreon.com/PBN. That's patreon.com/PBN. $2 a month. Patreon.com/PBN.
To reach out to those that want to learn and practice independence and self-reliance, we are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
There are stories circulating on the internet that in India and elsewhere, the drug ribavirin has been shown to be effective against this virus. Yet, Homeland Security is telling the CDC not to make any announcements until stockpiles of the drug can be secure.
Well, Dr. Gupta, there continue to be evaluations of several drugs. Ribavirin is among them. But right now, our best defense has been social distancing. No handshaking, staying home when you're sick, washing your hands frequently.
Can you tell us to date how many people have died from this virus?
Very difficult. We're still working on confirming that number. There are 50 different states in this country, which means there are 50 different health departments, followed by 50 different protocols.
Let me bring in Alan Crumway into this debate as well. Alan's a freelance journalist. He was the first to track the Shinko Busman video. Alan, today on Twitter, you wrote that the truth about this virus is being kept from the world by the CDC, by the World Health Organization, to allow friends of the current administration to benefit from it, both financially and physically.
There are therapies we know are effective right now, like forsythia, and they don't even appear on the CDC website.
On your blog, you also wrote that the World Health Organization is somehow in bed with pharmaceutical companies.
Because they are. That's who stands to gain from this. They're working hand in glove. And the hand is reaching into our pockets.
The CDC is exploring forsythia and other homeopathic treatments. But right now, there's no science to back any of these claims.
Or no way Dr. Cheever or the people who put him into power can profit from it.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
All right, we are back. Thanks for sticking with us. April 14th, 2020, second half of Patriot Power Hour. Episode 92, Ben the Breaker of Banksters, Cochran, reach out to me. Let me know what you think about the show. Let me know what kind of feedback you have, what kind of questions you might have, any suggestions for guests. We can't do guests right now due to the quarantine situation and our technical setup, but hopefully we're going to break this quarantine sooner than later, get some guests and live callers, had some live callers previously, that was super fun. But anyway, hit me up, dethronethebanksters@gmail.com. Again, dethronethebanksters@gmail.com. No contest this week. Did have a contest winner last week, sending him a nice shiny 1 ounce piece of silver. That'll be in the mail by the end of this week. I'll make sure to disinfect it. Although silver is a natural disinfectant, I think it'll kill coronavirus. That has not been approved by the FDC. All right. Bring it on, Future Dan. Future Dan, I want you to let people know where they can reach out to you and let you know what they think.
Yeah, absolutely. At Future Danger numeral 6. Future Danger 6 on Twitter is a great way. Or info@futuredanger.com anytime by email.
info@futuredanger.com and @futuredanger6, and of course dethronethebanksters@gmail.com. down with these bankster scum. So want to quickly talk about I think I'm gonna do a whole 20 or 30 minute special just on this website. Maybe that's a daily audio cache or a Patriot correspondence, which, yes, I know, Future Dan, I owe one there, but I digress.
You're in debt, too.
I'm in big debt. So I think my topic, or one of my major source sites, ironically, very similar, in my opinion, to Future Danger, insofar as it's color-coded, it has real-time information, it draws from legitimate quote-unquote mainstream media sources and government institutions. So it's not just random data or news from, you know, blogspot.com. Nothing wrong with Blogspot. We all had one back in the day. But go to usdebtclock.org. And we have no affiliation with this. usdebtclock.org. And again, I'm only going to cover it for like a minute real quick, some of the key ones. But you can, there's hundreds and hundreds of metrics, and I'm going to go through a lot of them individually. But once you're at usdebtclock.com, there's a couple I want you to look at right now. Straight away, U.S. national debt. We're at $24.24 trillion. It was not that long ago that it was just $20 trillion. And I believe back in the financial crisis of 2008, 2009, it was about $12 trillion. So we've doubled. We've doubled in the last 10 years. And we're on pace to double probably in the next 6 years at this rate. Hopefully we'll pull back a little bit. But that U.S. national, what does that come out to? Per taxpayer, that's $195,000 per taxpayer. $73,000 per citizen, but, you know, not every citizen pays, and those non-citizens, obviously, we'll leave them out of the equation here. That, and next thing, and I'm going to turn over to future Dan for his thought on this, one more metric, got to check it out, U.S. gross domestic product. This number used to be larger than the U.S. national debt. It is now lower. The U.S. GDP also is going backwards on this U.S. debt clock for the first time. For the first time, really, in a noticeable fashion, the GDP is going backwards. It's decreasing. That has not been going on for quite a while, but the national debt's skyrocketing more than it ever has. Put those two together, I think we got a problem, future Dan.
Yeah, I mean, is that ratio what ultimately gets us near default?
That's the quadrillion-dollar question, pun intended again. Look, countries like Japan is probably the largest country that's done this and still kind of survives their economy. They're at 250-300% debt to GDP. That would mean we would still have another 30 or 40 or 50 trillion that we could pile on before we're equal to Japan. It's not apples to apples, though.
It just became a moral question. Entirely, right? Because Japan's not even a superpower. So if they can go triple the ratio, then we could probably do at least twice that before something broke, which means you and I are going to outlive it. And our children might, too. But somewhere, our posterity is going to suffer for it. And it's not right to do that. And when socialism burst on this scene, you know, 150 years ago or so, and democracy, mostly in Europe at first, figured out they could vote benefits out of the treasury that don't exist to their generation, knowing they're encumbering later generations, that became the political norm in democracy, Western democracy. And we all know that, you know, morally doing that to the generations coming after us is not right. To be born with that figure running on you, are on you, like for a baby born today, that 195,000, it's running on you. It's not right.
Definitely. And look, they actually serve it up in easy-to-digest numbers right on the front page. There's a lot of numbers on usdebtclock.org's front page, and there's a lot of other subpages. But it's right there near the top, U.S. federal debt to GDP ratio. Here's a history of it. In 1960, it was 53%. So the debt was 53% of GDP, so GDP was much larger, almost twice as big as the debt. In 1980, the debt was only 34% of GDP. Not bad at all. Back, go, you know, fast forward another 20 years to the year 2000, it's up to 58%, so quite a jump in that 20 years. But still, not too much higher than it was in the 60s. So if you came of age or entered the workforce or even hit, you know, kind of your prime earning years between 1960 and 2000, 2005, you were sitting pretty, at least here in the United States. Right now, it's 112%. So it's essentially doubled in the last 20 years, pretty close to doubled, and it's way out of whack. Never really been here except for wartime, and that was World War II. I mean, I know COVID's a big deal. I don't think it's World War II.
Yeah, and for close adherence to the default indicator we have on future danger, we're scraping data from Fed sources, and it's a debt per GDP ratio that's updated every 90 days. So before this happened, it was tick marked at 94% debt. You're saying it's 112 right now? That gauge hasn't updated since February, and it's due pretty soon. In fact, if it hasn't changed next week, I'll have exact data when it's going to change. But it was at 94% going into this.
Okay. So it's actually, it hasn't updated quite yet. That's how quickly this stuff has moved. I mean, at least a couple trillion of that. I would have to go back and see what it was on January 1st, but I feel like the U.S. national debt was like 22 and a half or 23 trillion. So just in the last few months, just in Q1 itself, it jumped a nice trillion and a half. That probably explains a lot of the discrepancy.
Yeah, it was the bailouts, and we reported on them for the past few weeks, and the official data isn't catching up to it yet, but the U.S. debt clock is running strong. Yeah, that's a great website.
Yeah, pretty crazy. So here's another one real quick. Paper gold to physical gold ratio. And you can find where they get these numbers. I'm sure you can argue over some of these numbers, but I've done a lot of research on these here and independently. They're pretty legitimate. For every ounce of physical gold, there are 88 ounces of paper gold being traded in various markets worldwide. I think it almost would be ridiculous that for every ounce of gold, there's one paper ounce of gold. So 50% of the market's physical, 50% is paper. That's still dilution. You know, that's cutting it in half. That's still diluted. We're looking at 88-1. What do you think about that?
That's 88 times the banksterism of real gold.
Yeah. 88. And trust me, it's like logarithmic too. So it's not even a straight line. 88x is like 50 billion.
All right. Let me hit you with one. Fed total asset change over 7 days. Where do you think that's at?
So I believe last week it was at about 11% over the last 7 days. And I think the week before that it was in the double digits too. So I thought they took a little bit off the gas, but I'm still going to say like 9%.
No, it's a little bit better than last week, but it's still higher than 9%. It's 10.08% increase in the red. Yeah, now it's just the fictional reserves just to infinity, right?
Think of it this way, people. Of all the, we talk trash about the Fed and central banking. I know a lot of preppers and people here, just they may not know the details, but they know central banksters are bad. Well, just since episode 91, and again today, episode 92, just since episode 91, the Fed has grown by 10%. You know, if they were like the German army is marching on us and has grown 10% in the past week, and it grew, and that was based off another 10% before compounding. I mean, that's like a real threat, but these trillions of dollars just are imaginary, so people don't see it as an issue. But the enemy has grown in strength by 10% in 7 days. That is like, that's important. I'm lost for words, I guess.
Something that's interesting is the LIBOR. London Interbank Offering Rate, offering rate overnight, LIBOR, which is being discontinued, but it was an indicator of interest rate, you know, ratios of interest rates. They're too technical to get into now, but it, believe me, in the day, if LIBOR was spiking, it was a sign of distress. It's hitting all-time lows. So this financial crisis, economic, financial, medical crisis has broken normal economics and that we know it, and that's like, it was already getting absurd last year.
No, it's almost like, well, we're about to go to actually break, so I don't want to go down a whole nother diatribe, but it's almost like it's lost the vital signs of a real economy, and that's why some people might call it a zombie economy. It's still able to move and eat brains, but it doesn't have a pulse. It doesn't have brain activity, electrical activity. It's a zombie economy that's still moving.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the National Disaster Relief Effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
To reach out to those that want to learn and practice independence and self-reliance, we are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Because if you check on Facebook, you'll find a communique attributed to Dr. Cheever by Elizabeth Nygaard about the quarantine of Chicago hours before it was announced to the public. That's why I think he's a bit disingenuous when he says equal care for all and not just his friends.
Some pretty wild allegations here, Dr. Cheever. I mean, can you tell us what communication appeared and when? What exactly is the nature of your relationship with Elizabeth Nygaard?
Well, again, I'm not aware of anything attributed to me on any social
media. I'm sure you're not. It is there. It is there. Tell them what an Arnold of two really means, Dr. Cheever. Teach them some math, hmm? No? I'll do it. On day one, there were two people with it, and then there were four, and then it was 16, and you think you've got it in front of you. But next it's 256, and then it's 65,000, and it's behind you and above you and all around you. In 30 steps, it's a billion sick. 3 months. It's a math problem you can do on a napkin, and that's where we're headed. And that's why you won't even tell us the number of the dead, will you, Dr. Cheever? But you'll tell your friends when to get out of Chicago before anyone else has a chance.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Back, Patriot Power Hour. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, here to lead us through these last 7 minutes, but let me pass it over to Future Dan, because I know he's got something he really wants to hit on. Super interesting topic. Take it away, sir.
Yeah, I posted an article under Prepping Advisory entitled Freedom Tactics by Mason Fergus on Ask a Prepper. All right? And I want to read a statement he has in this, which is just so important to remember, I think. And here we go. So the way to fight tyranny is to look for the sort of political ideas that can lead to it, then use our votes and our powers as citizens to keep them out of power. And that's in the middle of the article. And at the end, he writes, writing letters, joining protests, doing podcasts, I'll add, and even voting aren't the most exciting ways to fight oppression, but they're definitely the most effective. If it gets to the point where the only way to defend your freedom is to pick up a rifle, your freedom is already gone. And then he goes on to say, do it the right way, do it now. And it's going on across the country where, you know, prudent measures to fight a pandemic and foreshadowing of tyrannical norms and behaviors and regulations could settle in right after this is over. Now's the time to have a voice and be active. That's why we do Patriot Power Hour.
Definitely. We are huge proponents of the Second Amendment, but we realize there's a reason the First Amendment comes first. It's more effective. It's what you should always try to go for. As you said, if you go to arms, you've probably already lost your freedom, at least from a kind of a tyrannical government or martial law point of view. You don't want to. If you have to, I guess we'll find out. It might be pressed to that at some point. But right now, you know, these are the precious days where we still do have relatively free and open internet and communication and can connect with folks. And this is the way I look at it, okay? And this is kind of maybe bolstering myself and you and some of the hosts here at Prepper Broadcasting Network, but other folks too, who maybe they only get a few likes of their post on Facebook or wherever, or they only have a limited amount of feedback or whatnot. Look, just waking up one person a day or even one person a week is huge, okay? You don't know how many people you're actually waking up. For every person that actually does interact with you on social media or your radio show or whatever, or even just in real life, there's probably 10 people that have observed you, 5 of them that actually thought about it, and maybe a couple that are really intrigued, and maybe you're changing their mind. They're just kind of lurking, right? Lurking in the background. So this is not a super fun topic to talk about all the time, prepping and, you know, fighting tyranny and all that stuff, but it is effective. Right now is the key time. Just getting the word out to a couple dozen people is invaluable, really. So there's my pep talk for prepping. I feel like it doesn't matter if tens of thousands of people aren't listening to anybody. Look, they're not the ones that are going to matter. It's going to be up to just a small percentage of people anyway, and they're the ones that are listening, paying attention, and they need to do what they can to also get the word out.
Yeah, everybody within the sounds of our words and everybody whose words I'm hearing too, all across this network and in the media that is libertarian-oriented, just keep speaking out, because the things we believe in, self-sufficiency, self-reliance, are going to show, there's gonna, a lot of people that are going to look at those in a new light and maybe willing to adopt them when the boot gets on your neck from your state and local government. It'll appeal to Americans.
Very much so, very much so. And let me kind of reverse course and say, Prepper Broadcast Network has seen some of its all-time highs in listenership, interaction, etc. So, yes, we're not pulling in 80,000 listens or a million listens like Joe Rogan or you know, some fantasy football show or some murder mystery podcast, but we're growing. We're growing precipitously. That means our responsibility grows too, but as fellow listeners or hosts of this at this network, our responsibility is growing, but so is our impact, and that's exciting, and we need to strike while the iron's hot before our opportunity is taken away from us, in my opinion.
Yeah, and my opinion is we're talking about things that nobody else is talking about in the Patriot Power Hour. Not all the time, but we're seeing connections and trying to forecast realities that we're all going to have to face. It's not like we didn't talk about diseases for the first you know, 85 episodes of doing this show together. You know, we've been doing this 9 seasons. This is the 10th season. And we do it on the actual seasons, equinox, you know, to solstice, and then into the next, into the next. So we're on season 10, spring. And we're always looking out for this stuff. And to some personality types, you know, you gotta, you know, just only be entertained and not hear the bad news. And if you're prepared and you live that way, God bless you. But a lot of us need to, like, have a stable understanding of our environment locally, nationally, globally, and the politics and the economics of it. That's what we're trying to do, is, you know, some original thought here.
I think you said it perfectly. Absolutely. So that does it for us. End of episode 92, Future Dan. It was another good one. We'll be back next week, right?
Catch you next week.
Awesome. All right, folks, getting out of here. Next Generation's coming up live. Second half of the Double Barrel Shotgun Tuesday on the PBN. Until then, we'll be back next week. Keep up the good fight. Don't give up. Patriot Power Hour. Going to be signing off right now.